marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. Marriage, that blessed arrangement, that dream within a dream.
How many of you watched that movie before? It's a fun movie called The Princess Bride. If you want to watch it, feel free to do that. Thanks for being here today. I want to talk a little bit about weddings today, because that's where we find ourselves in the text. The title of the message is Glory from Wine. And so I have some 6 jars up front. That's what the text is going to talk to us about. I went out and I spent a lot of money on my floral decorations, like many of you did for your wedding. And I went and spent money on a wedding cake. And wow. Did anybody lose their wedding cake on the wedding day and it toppled over or anything? You ever heard any stories like that? Anybody do that? That your wedding cake was doing just fine and then all of a sudden... That's not a good day, just letting you know. Have you been to a wedding in recent days? It's fun when you go to a wedding, isn't it? I mean, not if you're a part of the wedding. If you're a part of the wedding, then it's really kind of stressful. If you've been married in recent days, it's like you think of all the things that you need to put together, and think about an outdoor wedding on a day like today, huh? Yeah, I'm a pastor, and so in dealing with couples, they're like, we want to get married on an outdoor wedding day, and I say, that's fine, but you do know that it may not be sunny at 2:00 in the afternoon. Oh no, it'll be beautiful and there'll be no troubles. And then you wake up to something like this on the wedding, on the day of your wedding. Anybody do that? You had an outdoor wedding planned and it wake up being rainy? Glenn and Joy. No, you are a pastor. Yeah, you identified with that. You talked to several people and you're like, no, you need to have another plan. Anyway, weddings are fun. Weddings are neat events. Facebook is loaded with information on weddings and anniversaries and many posts of talking how many years they've spent together. And I just want to say this. If you are in this room and you are married, thank you for your commitment to your spouse. In a day and age where things just go hairy and difficult, and I truly believe the enemy of our souls wants to break marriages up, thank you for your commitment to your spouse. Now, I know this. In talking to a group of people of this size, I know that there are some of us that are divorced. Some of us are touched by the divorce from family or friends. And I know there's a number of different things. I just want to say this to the people who are married in this congregation. Thank you for being committed to your spouse. Continue to do that. And if I may say this, if you're struggling in your marriage right now and there are just some challenges that are there, remember the love that you had on your wedding day. Remember the love that you have when you first fell in love is what we say. And aim to love that person. We change, but 1 Corinthians 13 never changes. And it says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love never fails. And so trust in the Lord with your marriage. Now, I want you to know Manel and I have the perfect marriage. Okay, so maybe not. We don't have the perfect marriage. If you don't know, my wife's name is Manel. And the reason why we don't have the perfect marriage is that she has to put up with me. And that's a challenge. But in all seriousness, and I said this in first service, and she nodded, so she agrees with me. She's selfish, and I'm selfish. That's just who we are. If you're an individual and you're not married, you're selfish. And if you're a married person in the room, you're selfish. Just who you are. You want what you want when you want it, and you have to work through that and say, no, God has me in this marriage for a reason, and I need to work with my spouse. I also know there are some of you who aren't married in this room right now. Maybe it's through, maybe you're a widow or a widower, or maybe it's through a divorce, or maybe you're just single and you say, well, this message isn't going to apply to me. It is. There is something in this message for each one of us. But weddings can be neat events. I read a story this last week about a bride and a groom that were getting married. And maybe you've watched America's Funniest Home Videos, and if you have, you'll always see the wedding photos. But this one that I read about was there was a bride and a groom, and the bride happened to have on long sleeves of her dress. And so it came to a point in time during the wedding ceremony that they went to light the unity candle, which many of you have been to a wedding where there's unity candles. The bride gets a candle and the groom gets a candle and they light it together. And then just so you know, as a pastor, one of the things you do is you tell them, make sure you turn away from your candle, or you turn away from the unity candle when you go to blow out your candle. Or if you don't, you'll blow out the unity candle, which creates a whole another different deal there. Anyway, just some of the things that pastors deal with. Anyway, this bride and this groom, as they were getting ready to light the unity candle, somehow the bride's sleeve caught on fire. So the groom saved the day, got the fire out, and away from with the wedding they went. But, of course, that changed the wedding on that day. It was at a wedding, a great and fun event, that Jesus chose to do his first miracle. The story involves turning water into wine. There were six pots. My question today for you to think on as I preach, what do you need to have changed by the miracle of Jesus today? What do you need to have changed by the miracle of Jesus today? Would you join me in the text, John chapter 2? I'm going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to go through verse 11. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible, there's probably one in the chair in front of you. It's on the screen, or maybe you brought some kind of gadget to read along in the scripture. Here's what it says. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were six stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The first thing I want you to see is this. Jesus was invited to a wedding. Now, I want you to know a little bit about wedding in those days. It was a grand feast. It was a fun time. It usually lasted a week. And I want you to think about the wedding of that culture and the wedding in our culture. Think about all the stress that was put into the cake and the flowers and the people and the travel. Nowadays, there are some that go on a destination wedding. And what does that mean? They go and they go to a destination and go get married somewhere. And so you go to Australia and you pay a lot of money to go to Australia or wherever it might be in order to be part of that destination wedding. This was called a notable occasion. It was Jewish law that a wedding for a virgin should take place on a Wednesday. Now, nowadays, most of us get married on a Friday or a Saturday. Was there anybody in the room that didn't get married on a Friday or a Saturday? Anybody get married? Not on a Friday or Saturday. See? Uncommon. Did you get married on Wednesday? Thursday. All right, that was a good day. Wasn't it? It was a great day because you got married. The wedding itself took place in the evening after a feast. Then the couple were conducted to their new home. It was usually dark, of course, by that point in time. They didn't have electricity. And so the couple was led through the street with torches. They were taken on a long route for anyone to be able to congratulate them in the city. Now, catch that. Some of you, when you got married, you're like, the wedding's at 10, the reception's going to be at 10:30, and we're gone by 11:30 on our honeymoon. And some of you are like, no, we're going to start it at 1, and I'm not leaving till 1. And that's always a fun one for me as a pastor, just so you know. This is another one that I communicate with people. I tell brides and grooms, talk about what you expect of the wedding day. Because there are some who are like, man, I'm going to be there till 1 in the morning. That's what the groom is thinking. And the bride's ready to leave by 5. And then there's a fight that happens. And that's not good on a wedding day. So I say, talk about that. They didn't go away for a honeymoon, but they stayed at home and then had an open house. They were literally treated as kings and queens. Think about that. Think about your wedding day and then not going away for a honeymoon, but just staying there and everybody comes into your house for the next week. That's a little different, isn't it? There was much poverty and constant hard work in this society, and so this week was one of joy and festivity, and it was just a grand party. Now, today, weddings cost a lot of money. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the average cost of a wedding, according to Knott's 2017 Real Wedding Study, is $33,391. That's a lot of money in my mind. We don't have too many young ladies in the congregation, but I was commended some of the young ladies in the first service don't spend that much money. In New York City, the average is $76,000. Woo! The good news is another study that I saw was that the average wedding in South Dakota is only $14,000. So good to be from South Dakota. But in Sioux Falls, the average is $27,000. So if you know from somebody from Sioux Falls, the wedding venues just must be more expensive over there. Hey, maybe the pastors get paid more money in Sioux Falls. I don't know. I don't know what you paid or you expect to pay, but there was some money. When you think of attire and entertainment and flowers and decorations and what to eat and what to drink and photography and consultant and invitations and the officiant and the rehearsal dinner and the hotel and on and on. And I hope I'm not causing any friction between marriages today because sometimes that causes frictions when you get to that point in time. It's like, we're not spending that much money on pictures. We're just not doing it. And the other one says, we are. And so, the weddings were a big deal. And weddings are a big deal. In this culture, to run out of something would be a disgrace. Now, some of you are aware of that. Some of you are planners. And my mother-in-law is like that. Whenever I sit down at her table, I mean, if there's not at least half of the food left, then we didn't have enough food. And it's like, well, you don't need quite that much food. That's all right. But that's her, and that's totally fine. Some of you are like, well, we ran out of chicken. Deal with it, okay? Have some coleslaw. We don't have any coleslaw. Then go on the way home, get a little drink somewhere down the road. But for this culture, that was a big deal. Don't run out of wine. I love this first point that says that Jesus was invited to the wedding. Thank you for those of you in this room that invited Jesus to your wedding. If you invited Jesus to your wedding, you know that. You had a special part in your wedding for God to be honored. And if I may say, if you're a single in the room and you haven't been married yet or you're going to get married someday, invite Jesus to your wedding. There's something different that happens in a wedding when you invite Jesus to your wedding. So invite Jesus to your wedding. You may say, well, how am I going to do that? Put spiritual components. It doesn't have to happen in a church. I think churches are great. It can be outside. It can be at the courthouse. Wherever it needs to be, invite Jesus to your wedding. I want to take this opportunity for just a moment. I'm assuming that most marriages in this room, you've invited Jesus into your marriage. But if you haven't, I'm going to take the next couple of moments and I'm going to pray for your marriages. If you're in this room and you happen to be sitting by your spouse, what I want you to do is I want you to lean over and hold their hand. This may be uncomfortable for you because maybe you don't hold hands a lot, or maybe it's so comfortable it fits like a glove. But what I want to do is I want to pray for marriages today. God, I thank you for each man and each woman that have come together in what we have called a holy matrimony.
I pray over a marriage here that maybe didn't include you in their wedding, but today they're including you maybe for the very first time. And I pray that you would be at the center of their marriage. I pray over a marriage right now who their marriage is just rocky. And you know it, and both of them know it, and it's tough. And I just pray that they would invite you into the rockiness and that you would walk through them and that they would be faithful and true to the vows that they made. For those in the room that are involved in wedded bliss, I pray that they would serve as a model in our church, a model in our society where the marriage walls are falling. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray over every marriage that is represented within this room today. May my love be strong for my wife. May my wife's love be strong for me. May every husband's love be strong. And may every wife's love be strong. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, number two, a major problem happens in this situation. The wine runs out. The best I could come up with, I didn't bring wine with me today. There's not wine in these jars, just so you know. By the way, I don't need these jars by the end of the day. And if you find one of these jars or two or whatever, take one home with you. That would be great because I sure don't need them. But imagine your photographer not showing up. Can you imagine? I mean, nowadays we just pop out a smartphone and somebody takes some pictures. But some of you spent too much money on photos, just so you know. But that's okay. We're past that, and hopefully you've got that paid off. But I wanted to go back to these photos for just a moment because maybe you didn't know all of these people. This is Brian and Nicole Bickett. Some of these were in first service. Some weren't here today. Anybody know who that is? Josh and Katie Albers over here. Hold on, just a second. Go back to that, Josh and Katie Albers. Josh, why aren't you smiling in this picture? I just want to know. What happened here? Just caught you. You smiled on the next one. And, oh, I was supposed to say cheese. That was the problem. It wasn't your fault. And that, no, I just want. Okay, next one. This is Jim and Tamara Studioso. Brian and Jennifer Dickerson, who, just so you know, Brian just ran a half marathon yesterday, and Jennifer ran the Heart of the Hills last evening. So they're both runners. There we go. Jesse and Joni Nelson sitting over here. Anybody know that couple? That's Mark and Marianne Locke. They happen to be in Germany right now. And if you know Mark and Marianne, they're a little older than that now. And Mark's hair here is just impressive because he does not have that hair now. That's Ken and Glenda Hutton. Jeff and Paige Wildreyer sitting right over here. It's Bruce and Polly Ashland is who that is, if you can make that out. It's kind of tough to see. She had a long train, my word. Jeremy and Amber Johnson, they were in first service. Toby and Randy Cook. Toby didn't know that photo was coming. Kurt and Sam Payne. Sam's over here. Kurt's not with us today. Rich and Vicky Scherter, they were in first service today. I love the wavy hair. Greg and Janelle Barnier over here. Justin Michelle Chupless, they were in first service. Anybody know this young couple? Don and Donna Hemstocks. Picture a number of years ago. Hey, look at that. They invited, oh, go back up real quick. They invited Jesus to their wedding. Do you see that? Good job. Way to go. I didn't catch that first service. That was good. Mark, our intern, and his wife, Brooke Betcher. I was in the old church building. Ron and Sharon Taylor. Ron's here with us today. His wife is not, but thanks for being here today, Ron. Josh and Heather Button. Josh was singing right up here. Leon and Amber Herter, they were in first service today, the old church as well. Jim and Hans Moore, right over here. I like the mustache, Jim. Anybody know who that is? This one's a little hard to see. Yeah, Muriel Bachelor. Her husband has passed on now, but that's Muriel Bachelor, her husband. Hey, anybody know who that is? Next picture. It's Don and Norma Lind. They were in first service. Harold and Doris Short, if you know them, they were in first service. Cliff and Paula Vanderbush. Bradley and Megan. This is Rick and Nancy Spoolman. It's a little blurry, but Rick and Nancy Spoolman. Ron and Helen Burkhalter. They're much older now. And Clayton and Renee are in the service. Oh, yeah, another one. Jason and Margot Bodine, they were in first service. Is that all? All right. So imagine not having the photographer. I mean, it's a big deal to have photography at a wedding. Actually, at some weddings, they won't allow flash cameras. And so sometimes people will ask me, well, can we take a flash camera? Like, yeah, you can take whatever you want to. They run out of wine. And now some of us in this room have a hard time with this. We're like, wine, really, Jesus? And we're not going to have any wine. Some are like, yeah, wine. Let's just say this. I'm not sure exactly why his first miracle was turning the water in wine, but let's just look past the wine issue for a little bit. Barclay says that for a Jewish feast, wine was needed. The rabbis said, without wine, there is no joy. And we didn't know that the people weren't drunken, but in the East, wine was essential. Drunkenness was, in fact, a disgrace, and they would drink their wine in a mixture composed of two parts of wine to three parts of water. And in all actuality, maybe turning water to wine was actually really kind of fun, because some of us would be like, oh, what's Jesus doing here? And he does something unconventional. Isn't it neat when Jesus does something unconventional? Now, here these guys come and they say, hey, we've run out of wine. And they come to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, if you look in the text, maybe you caught this. Mary's name is not given here. Is actually said the mother of Jesus. Why that is, we're not sure. We're kind of thinking that maybe there's other Marys, and John wanted to make sure that we knew that it was the mother of Jesus. And so they come to Mary and they say, hey, we're missing and we've run out of wine. And nowadays, when we run out of something, it's so easy for us just to go to the store. We just go get it. Not that big of a deal. We have a credit card. And so I know we're way over budget for the wedding, but we'll just go get it. A couple of weeks ago, we were celebrating my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. We need some plates. And so went and got some plates and didn't have the right kind of plates, but that's what we needed and just went and got it. Here's a side note to the message. We have so much that at times we don't depend on Jesus as much as we should. Right at that point in time, Mary said, I know who can take care of this, and that is Jesus. But in times where there's great trial and tribulation in your life, that is when you trust in Jesus. And maybe that's where you're at right now. And maybe there's something going on in your life. I want you, don't miss the moment. Many times we want to skirt through some of these moments that there are trial and tribulation. Trust in Jesus, just like Mary was telling these people to do. Mary instructs them to listen to Jesus. I wonder if Mary took a little bit advantage of her motherhood. We don't know, but Mary does some instructing. Now, Jesus' phrase here was interesting to me. He says to her, woman, what does this have to do with me? Now, this is kind of abrasive in the English language. I would encourage all males in the room not to go home and at lunch today say, woman, it might be a long Sunday for you if you do that, all right? But you've got to understand the context And the context was probably woman, dear, or you could even switch it around possibly to dear woman. It's the same phrase that Jesus gave when he was talking to his mom on the cross. Dear woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And so it's the same phrase that is given there. And I wonder what Jesus is Jesus resisting here? He's saying, woman. Or is he seeing something different? And I think that's what happens. I think Jesus is seeing something beyond. Sometimes there were times when he would do a miracle, and what would he say? Don't tell anybody about this. Don't say anything about this. And you may ask the question, where was Joseph? Where was he at in this whole part? Many believe that he had probably died already, and he had passed away. Many believe he had died pretty soon after, and so he probably wasn't around. The next thing I want you to see is what it says in verse 5. I don't know if you're for underlining things in your Bible or not, but in verse 5, his mother said to the servants, here's the phrase, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. Two thoughts I have on that. One, Mary knew that the situation was saved when it was committed to him. Let me repeat that. Mary knew that the situation was saved when it was committed to him. She probably didn't know exactly what was happening, but then he did things. I wonder if you're in that place, and I just want to encourage you. If you've committed to him, then let him do it. If you'd say yes to the Lord on something, then let him do them. Do whatever he tells you to do. And the other thing I want you to do is to hear is this. What has Jesus been telling you? Do whatever he tells you to do. This is appropriate for all of us. I was chatting with a lady this week who attends our church. And she shared with me some things that God talks to her about as she comes to church. What a great thing, isn't it? I believe God talks to us when we come to church. I believe he speaks to us. I think he impresses upon our heart. It might not be in an audible voice, but we see something through a message. We see something through a word in a song, or somebody tells us something, and I believe God speaks. And it doesn't just happen inside of church, but it can happen outside. And I want you to know, if God is telling you to do something this morning, do it. That's what Mary said. Do whatever he tells you. If you're driving down the road and you hear something and something triggers in your mind, I should call that individual. Maybe that's a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Do whatever he tells you to do. I wonder what God might be telling you to do. I wonder if God has been trying to tell you something and you've turned your hearing aid down because you just didn't want to hear it. Or maybe you've turned into a different channel because it just isn't easy to do. What is God telling you to do? Maybe it's to accept him and confess of your sins. Do it. Maybe it's to believe in someone or something again. Do it. Maybe it's to move. If God's telling you to move, move. And if God's telling you to stay, stay. Maybe it's to forgive again. Maybe it's to trust. Do it. Do whatever he tells you to do. A commentator says this, it was to save a humble Galilean family from hurt that Jesus put forth his power. So, they got these 6 stone water jars. And they were for the Jewish rites of purification. Now, each of these jars, I got these jars with me here today. Each of these jars were actually 20 to 30 gallons. Now, my jars here aren't 20 to 30 gallons, so I thought I would get some other ones that would exemplify how much wine there was. Each of these coolers actually holds about 5 gallons. So, if you can imagine with me for a moment, that you could even go 2 more up if you want to go 30 gallons times 6. It's a lot of wine. I've been to some weddings where there's a lot of alcohol. Maybe you have. Maybe your wedding was like that. But there wasn't that much alcohol. That's a lot of wine. These jars, do you know what these jars were used for? Do you see what it says in the text? These jars were for the Jewish rites of purification. That means that these were cleaning jars, which means there was water in these jars. The Jews were very concerned about washing their hands. They were very concerned about washing their feet. There were some dirty roads that they were on, and they had sandals. And so they would come over, and they would wash their hands, and they would wash their feet. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. I don't think there was anybody, you don't see it in the text, we can argue from the silence of the text, but there was nobody that said, before we do this, Jesus, could we run down to the local hardware store and buy some Clorox? I mean, I was with the people who were right before me, and I saw what they stepped in on the way, and then I saw them use this for little cleaning purposes. I'm not going to drink anything out of there. No, I think we need to clean this. We need to sanitize this. Now, there are some of you in this room that you have a lot of kids, and you really don't care. Just drink it. It's all right. There are some of you that, I got to be careful here, but there are some of you that carry handy wipes with you, and you've already used your handy wipes like about 4 times since you've been in the church here because, we can't do that. Here's what happens. Fill it up. Didn't say anything about cleaning it. But do you know the grime in there? Fill it up. And what does the scripture say? Maybe you want to underline it in yours. Up to the brim. Why did they fill it up to the brim? I believe they filled it up to the brim so that nobody could think that somebody went and added something in there. Fill it up. They filled it up with water. And something happened in that moment. And it became wine. And it didn't just become wine, it became good stuff. I hope you're catching the message today. We bring our little water jars and we're pretty ugly and sinful and unclean. And that all kind of settles in the bottom. But there's something happens when we give our lives to the Lord. He just fills it up and it's just up. And all of that junk becomes sweet. If you've never entered a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, please do that because that's what happens in your life. And if you're dealing with some junk in your life right now, I just want to let you know that Jesus can just change all that and just cleanse you. And it's up the top. Jesus had the wine, and they had 20 to 30 gallons of it. Here's what a commentator says. No need on earth can exhaust the grace of Christ. There is a glorious superabundance. When Jesus comes into a man's life, there comes a new quality, which is like turning water into wine. Without Jesus, life is dull and stale and flat. When Jesus comes into it, life becomes vivid and sparkling and exciting. If you've ever been with me out to eat, sometimes I do this and I probably shouldn't, but it's fun to do. If I'm out of drink and I'm pouring, they give me a pitcher to fill my cup up. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll fill my cup up, but then if you're sitting next to me, I usually fill your cup up pretty full, like to the brim, which makes you feel a little uncomfortable. I don't know if you've ever had anybody do that, because then what do? You really can't lift it, because if you lift it, it's all going to spill out. And it's just kind of fun for me to do. So, reason why I share that is when Jesus comes into your life, just like he fills it up to the brim. If you're feeling drained today, just come to Jesus, and he'll fill you. Running over, my cup is full and running over, I think would be the song. What's the reaction? What happens here when the waters turn to wine? When they have all of this wine? I mean, they're not going to drink it all. What's the reaction? The wedding guests were pleased that they were being served so well, and Jesus brought about the best And isn't that like him? And catch this, who was also impacted in this story? All of these wedding guests, but did you find it? Do you see it in verse 11? Here's what it says. This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and there he manifested his glory, which means he revealed his glory from water turning to wine. How does that happen? I mean, it's supposed to be in a good gospel service with good gospel music, but he changed water into wine, and that's how he manifested his glory. And then here's what it says in the end of verse 11. And his disciples believed in him. Why did it take that? Why does it take for us things like this? Oh, yeah, I guess Jesus is still real, isn't he? Oh, yeah, Jesus is still on the throne. And maybe there's something deep within you that you just need to believe in him again. Were they not believing in him? There's a part of me that just was like, well, were they not? And they had to go to a wedding feast in order to believe. Sir Wilfrid Grenfell, who was a medical missionary to Newfoundland, asked for volunteers for his work. And he told them that he couldn't promise them much money, but he could promise them the time of their lives. When you let Jesus be in total control, you can have the time of your life. That's a lot of drink. A lot. And when they left from that wedding feast on that day or that week, they're like, do you remember when we ran out of wine? Remember what took place? Remember the nasty jars that Jesus wanted to use? But man, that was good stuff, wasn't it? Praise be to God. What is Jesus telling you to do? Do whatever he tells you. And when he manifests his glory within your realm, believe in him. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for you. Oh God, I think of each person in this room. I just beg to think that, or I just seem to think that there's somebody here this morning who you've been talking to about something and they've just been resisting. And I just pray, God, in the quietness of this moment, that they would just do what you have told them to do. Whatever it is. It's biblical and it's right and righteous and good, of course. Help them to do what you've told them to do. It may take some faith, it may take some stepping out, and it may take ridicule, but I pray that you would encourage them to do whatever you've been telling them to do. I pray for somebody here this morning, maybe their jar is just kind of not real filled right now. I pray that you would fill them to the brim. And I pray for somebody here this morning who needs just a miracle of changing something that's disgusting, something that has dirt and grit and sand in it, and it just needs to be changed into something sweet and wine-tasting. And I pray that the super abundance of your grace would just so fill somebody this morning that they would just walk out of here just knowing, just as Mary committed it to you, that they can commit it to you as well, and it's taken care of. Help them not to worry about that. Help them to plan and prepare, but help them not to worry because you are the one working. And then God, as you have revealed your glory this morning, and as you reveal your glory to us this week, may we believe in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this, the first of your miracles. What a neat wedding it was. Thank you, Jesus, for turning the water into wine. And I pray that you would turn someone around even here today and make them new. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love for us. Go before us this week. Give us of your grace and of your mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.